You there, adventurer? Yes, you. Do you desire knowledge of immense worlds and arcane power? A codex of untold stories and lore? Or perhaps simply easy listening for your daily commute? Then feast your eyes, or more accurately, ears, upon Dungeonpedia. Shit's about to get nerdy in here.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Dungeonpedia, an exploration into the lore of Dungeons & Dragons. We're your hosts, Lynn Markell.
Hey there, Stanfield.
And I'm Travis Peasley.
So, Pokemon Sword.
And Shield.
Well, Sword for me. Has an iron grip on my life. has maintained an iron grip on my life for a little while, and will probably continue to do so.
So, not to expose us, and particularly Lewin, and a little bit Travis.
Listen.
Taylor, no!
Actually, the more you guys struggle, the more I'm going to expose you.
No, I'm not struggling. I'm just going to sit here and listen to it.
I'm struggling like I'm in quicksand.
So, Lewin gets here at right about 3 a.m. It's almost 6 a.m. now.
Taylor!
Part of that was because I needed to eat food. But,
Taylor, no.
Another good portion of that was that I had to basically pry Lewin
off the couch.
Off the couch to come record. And then we got in here, and I like to multitask while we record because I've talked about this before. I have ADHD, and it's helpful for me to multitask. So sometimes I have, like, my paints in here, and I'm just, like, messing with stuff and keeping my hands occupied. And Lewin's like, I can do the episode and catch eggs back and forth. I can do it.
Yeah, I want that shiny Sobble. I mean, I think I can do it, but, you know.
We'll
Taylor has no
at a later date.
Yeah, we'll test that later. Taylor has no confidence in me, though. So just know that that's our friendship dynamic right now. Is Taylor exposing me on air for
Pokemon crimes.
Yes.
The crimes of Pokemon.
But anyways, so, I mean, it's been a fun game, but it also has inspired you a little bit.
Yeah, so this might, I don't think this is spoilers, because if you were on the internet when they were doing pre-release stuff, which I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you use the internet. Mm. If not, then, like, tell us how you are doing that. But if you were on the internet at all, during Sword and Shield's, like, pre-release stuff, you will have seen the Pokemon Corviknight, which is, like, a raven Pokemon.
Yeah, it's, like, a dope-ass, like, castle raven knight
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's fucking great. I'm using one. It's great. But it inspired me for my topic this week because I thought, and this was one that I had thought about doing before, but, like, put on the back burner and was like, I'll do that later. But it brought it back up to the surface for me, and that is Kenku!
Yay, I love those little bird guys.
Yes, I am aware a little bit about Kenku for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I first heard about them from Critical Role.
Yes, there's a beloved, adorable Kenku character in Critical Role.
But I never actually went into research much about them.
Well, luckily,
so.
I did
oh,
for
good.
You, so...
Good.
This would be a bad episode if I didn't.
Oh, no. I just wanted to talk about them. Do you mean you guys don't know everything about them to tell me?
We're just going to, like, we're just going to chit-chat about them, but we don't actually know
and
anything.
And, like, hypothesis about them. I think that they're birds.
What are birds?
Fairly certain they're birds.
What are Kenku?
Feathery
we just don't know.
Creatures.
Yeah, they are feathery creatures. So, for anyone who's not aware, and some of their aesthetic references change a little bit throughout editions, but Kenku are bipedal humanoid creatures with, okay, some iterations of them have wings, some do not.
Right.
But they have feathers and, like, beaked faces like birds. So it's basically like a bird head on a feathery human body.
Yeah.
And they have, like, talons on their hands and feet.
Yeah.
And they are actually, I'm going to talk about their mythological reference very briefly, because there's a lot about Kenku and a lot about their mythological reference, but they are inspired by the Japanese Tengu.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, which is a creature, for those who don't know, it is a creature that sometimes appears as a humanoid bird, kind of like
a Kenku.
Kind of like a Kenku, but sometimes is more humanized insofar as it looks like a human, just with like a very long nose and like bird.
Like feathers and
motif,
shit.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, the Kenku's are really, or excuse me, Tengu is a very long standing
mythological figure
for
Japanese.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, different kinds of, like, legends to do with the king. Or, fuck, Tengu. I'm saying the right word for later. So, accounts of them vary pretty largely, mostly with time. So, like, over time, they kind of became a more sympathetic, benevolent figure.
Right.
So, sometimes they're portrayed as yokai, which are demons, and they're, like, the natural enemies of Buddhism. Because of their morals. Sometimes they're represented as the ghosts of very arrogant people.
Oh.
So, like, they stuck around because of how arrogant they were. And sometimes they're, like, the benevolent spirit protectors of certain areas, like certain forests.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that that's the one I've seen. I actually didn't realize that they could, they had different interpretations that was based, that were basically demonic.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of different accounts of them, like, you can see our mythology podcast for our episode about Tengu, because they could be a full episode. We don't have another mythology podcast.
This is it, y'all.
This is the only one. And it's also worth noting that the Tengu themselves appear as they are in Oriental Adventures.
Okay.
So,
oh, right, right, right.
Yeah. So they're there, but we're not going to talk about them right now. But they're what the Kenku are based on, so I had to touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, it's like, you know, it's there, it's an inspiration, but it's not the meat of it.
Exactly. So the Kenku, now I can say that word and be correct.
But now you're going to say Tengu.
Now I'm going to start saying Tengu, yeah. The Kenku first appeared in the 1981 Fiend Folio as an encounter. So Tengu in Fiend Folio have a limited scope of magical powers that they usually use in order to trick and inconvenience other people. The word inconvenience specifically was used.
I like that, actually. Like, that's me, actually.
Yeah. They're very you in another way that we'll get into later.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh, boy.
It's one funny throwaway sentence, but still. So, they're mischievous, but their intent is very rarely lethal.
Right.
So they are separated by their abilities that they have at different hit dice. So Kenku of 3 hit dice or more have 1 first level spell and also the ability to change their shape once per month for a period of 7 days.
Huh.
Okay, that's an interesting...
So you can just be somebody else for a week.
Yeah, that's an interesting addition.
I wish I could do that.
Okay, for one same week, joke.
For 1 week a month, you can be
a
somebody
rich person.
Else.
Oh, man, please.
That's who I would want to be. So it stated that reckless and wild Kenku are said to use this power to take on the forms of gods and get gifts from gullible believers, which is
beautiful.
Hilarious.
Oh, my God. I love these things already.
I know, right? So Kenku of 4 hit dice or more can use an additional first level spell as well as the spell invisibility. So it's like they're racial abilities, but they're the same as, like, the spells, you know what
I
mean?
Right, yeah.
So they can use invisibility with no restrictions on the timing or usage.
Ooh.
So you can just be invisible all the time, I guess.
That, okay, little overpowered there, but all right, sure, let's...
Kenku OP, please nerf.
Would it still have, like, the regular... restrictions of invisibility in that if you attack someone, you are no longer invisible?
Maybe.
It doesn't necessarily say.
It doesn't necessarily say.
I mean, because I would put that
probably
on there.
Probably depending on, like, the rules for this particular, like, edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
81 is a bit earlier than I actually thought that they'd be included.
Yeah. I mean, more than likely, probably what they mean is it wouldn't be restricted in, like, the way that a magic user spell slots are, or like they can use it for longer than like a minute or an hour or whatever.
Right.
Kenku of 5 hit dice have a second level spell as well as the spell Call Lightning, which is what it sounds like.
Yeah, you can call lightning.
It creates a lightning storm in a space that can accommodate it, does a lot of thunder damage, yada yada. So these abilities are realized in kayfabe as a Kenku ages and receives, like, training.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, like, the Kenku of higher hit dice that might have an ability like Call Lightning are generally, like, the older and more experienced, like, adult Kenku.
Right.
And the five-hit dice Kenku are usually, like, if you encountered a group of Kenku, they're, like, the leader.
Okay.
And also, it's worth noting that three-hit dice Kenku... Kengu?
Kengu.
Now I'm just mashing the words up. Three-hit dice Kenku are usually, like, adolescents. So okay. It's like teenagers going off and like pretending to be gods and scamming people out of stuff.
I love it.
That is very teenagerly to do.
I know. It's just like little teenage delinquents running around pretending to be gods.
Yes,
like,
I am a god. Give me money.
Exactly. It's great. So Fiend Filial also states that all Kenku have, quote, well-developed disguise abilities and can pass as a human 50% of the time.
Huh.
It did not specify whether this is only with assistance from their shape change ability, because they're bird people.
Yeah.
They look like birds.
I am going to go with probably. I hope so. If not, what is everyone in this town doing and why are they not perturbed by the bird human?
So the only thing that I can think of that would be possible would be for them to be lying and be like, no, this is just like a ceremonial outfit that I have on.
And it's all feathers and also a mask.
Yeah, like...
I could see that.
And if they're as mischievous as they are, they can probably lie pretty good.
Probably.
So that would be, like, the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, and it's, It states that, quote, the length of the nose usually gives away the deception.
Oh my god.
Because it's a fucking beak. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bird.
It's a long, pointed beak. Like,
that's not a nose at all.
And when they talk, the beak opens.
Ah.
So.
Right? Like, I know. It gets me. It gets me. Also, it's worth noting, I should have mentioned this earlier, but Kenku in their Fiend Filial incarnation have wings and can fly.
Okay.
So, I will say, there is the aspect that they have wings, but it was described as their wings, the way they fold in their back, look kind of just like a big backpack. And also the fact that a lot of Kenku wear specifically, like, ill-fitting, like, robes and
they
stuff like that.
They want to hide the fact that they're Kenku.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have them hiding under, like, a cloak, it might just look like someone has a big backpack on their back.
Right,
so.
Thick clothing. And
but like a beak.
The beak is the one that I the can't beak is get just, over.
It's just out there.
You can't really like hide the beak too well unless you break it off.
Ooh.
Actually sounds really painful.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I think they're just banking on the inhabitants of whatever town they're in. Like they have their hood up and these people just want to mind their own business. Like, I mean, to be fair.
Legitimately, I think you're right.
If I saw a bird person walking down the street, I'd probably just be like, well,
none of my business.
Exactly. Yeah,
I would just turn to Walker and be like, nope, I don't even want to
I don't even want to get involved in this, whatever.
This is not my business. I don't care. I don't want to be involved. Leave me out.
Yep.
Just not going to fuck with this. Goodbye.
So in line with their love of inconveniencing people and being tricksy little people, Kenku love to kidnap people for ransom.
Oh, no.
So, like...
Oh, no.
So, like, they draw the line at murder, but they'll kidnap people. They also often give away treasures as gifts that turn out to be fake, which is funny.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
As well as giving directions and advice to people that most often turns out to be dangerous. It says, as a general rule, Kenku are only actively helpful about 5% of the time.
Nice.
Which I'm just imagining somebody rolling percentage dice to be like, is this Kenku going to be helpful? No, they're not.
No, they are not. Most certainly not.
On the very rare occasions, like, oh, shit. All right.
Well, this Kenku's just really helpful.
You get this one.
And the Kenku's like, you get this one.
So, the Kenku live in small underground caverns, but it is believed that Kenku, even more powerful and magically gifted than the five-hit dice Kenku, live maybe in larger undiscovered caverns.
Probably.
With a, like, larger society than humans realize, which, like, probably, because there's a lot of stuff that humans don't know.
Yep.
about other races than D&D. Yeah,
and there's a lot of underground
stuff
that goes on. So. Yeah,
and, you know, like...
Would also just straight up be interesting.
Yeah. So, also, as of right now, Kenku cannot speak verbally. So when they say, like, giving advice, they mean, like, non-verbally. So, like, you know, you come across a Kenku at a fork in a road, and you're like, which way do you go? And they'll, like, point you that way.
And they point you into a trap.
Yeah, they point you into the dangerous place with really powerful monsters. And they seem to communicate with each other telepathically.
Badass.
They seem to,
is what it says. And they are also neutral in alignment.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Yeah. Yeah, given the nature of, like, they can be helpful sometimes, but they're mostly just mischievous.
Yeah.
And they don't really, like, harm anyone necessarily. They just kidnap you or lie to you or give you fake shit.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, Kenku reappear in the 1989 Monstrous Compendium Volume 2, which was later compiled with other compendiums into the 93 Monstrous Manual.
Right.
So many M words.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a lot of those. And then, like, the Monstrous Compendiums and the Monster Manuals. Yeah. And
you would think that with D&D, you'd be complaining about all the Ds, but no, you're complaining about all the Ms.
I never complain about it. Never mind. Okay. So, their appearance reference is expanded in Monstrous Compendium as being specifically hawk-like, with predominantly brown and white feathers and bright yellow eyes.
Huh.
And their magical abilities and propensity for being, like, trickster-type creatures is unchanged.
Okay.
So, like, they look more like hawks right now, which... this reference wasn't given for the Fiend Folio, and mm-hmm. also the drawings in the Fiend Folio are black and white, so they didn't really have a color, you know,
right.
to
they,
them.
They didn't, like... It wasn't like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and since they didn't reference the color and the picture does not have any color, I don't know what colors they were supposed to be in Fiend Folio, but now they're brown and white with yellow eyes.
See, I kind of always just, like, imagine them just kind of like crow color, like that sleek black.
That comes later.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe they are now.
Yes. Okay.
And we'll talk about that and why that is. So Kenku live in the society's... of, like, humans and demi-human races, and they live by blending in with these other people, due both to their ability to shape change and also their uncanny ability to pass as humans, even though they literally look like birds.
I'm still just so confused about this, like...
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be one of those things that it's up to the DM to decide how they do that? Or is it just like, nope, they do it?
Yeah.
We
because
don't know.
It doesn't, probably.
It doesn't make sense to me that shape change wouldn't have like 100% because, like, you're literally turning into something else.
Yeah, like that.
But it doesn't make sense to me that, like, I literally just imagine that everyone in this world just wants to mind their own business.
Yeah.
Which is probably not true. But anyway, they have a 50% chance to pass as a human. It's whatever.
It's very stupid.
It's a choice, and not one I would have made. So when Kenku are pressed about their society... most Kenku either lie or outright refuse to answer any questions. So that leaves that kind of speculation.
You can't make me talk without my lawyer.
Yes.
Though.
Always get a lawyer.
They still don't talk, right? Like, they don't they don't have a spoken language.
No.
Do they just pretend to be mute?
You know, I don't know. Maybe.
Huh.
Maybe. That reminds me just about, like, any bevy of jokes is, like, I don't speak English. Or, like, I just don't speak this or whatever. But, I mean, they have ways to communicate.
Right.
Like, Kenku can write.
I'm just wondering, like, if a Kenku did get, like, arrested, let's say...
Which could happen.
Yes. Because
of their propensity for doing legally ambiguous stuff.
Like, what are you going to do when the police... The police officer. Wow. When the guard...
The fantasy police officer.
Starts asking you questions, like, try and, like, gesture to yourself and, like, sorry, I don't speak, like...
At that point, you would probably just... They would just, like, gesture for, like, a pen and paper.
Yeah.
And, like, just start writing shit down.
Fair.
Or they might just sit there smugly and just stare at them.
Yeah, depending on the person.
And just shrug.
So this leaves that kind of speculation that, like, we discussed about how, like, a lot of people just don't know how, like, vast or complicated Kenku society might actually be. Because, like, a lot of these Kenku that live on the fringes of demi-human societies, like, they just don't want to talk about it.
Right.
So Kenku in Monstrous Manual still don't speak, but they can make bird-like squawks, which it didn't say that they could in Fiend Folio, so I don't know if they just didn't have a capability. And they still appear to communicate with each other telepathically.
Okay.
Appear to.
Appear to.
Yeah. So Kenku are now oviparous, which means they lay eggs. And these eggs hatch after 60 days. Baby Kenku are helpless and weak, but mature into one-hit dice Kenku within 6 to 8 months, and then begin training the abilities that will help them as adults. So eventually this Kenku would progress into being one that can change their shape and, you know, become invisible and all that other shit.
That's growing up.
That's a very long incubation period, though. 60 days?
Yeah.
Good God.
It changes. That changes a little bit.
Okay. Because I was like, compared to like other aspects of like a Kenku's lifespan, that does seem rather long.
Yes. So as far as I could find, Kenku are not in third edition, but they reappear in 3.5 and they change quite a lot.
Ooh.
So they are in the Monster Manual for 3.5. So their eye color has changed from a bright yellow to a beady black.
Ooh.
And they no longer have wings.
An ooh.
Yeah.
Bad ooh.
So it, like, obviously it was implied that this could be, well, I say implied, like, this would be a probable origin for them, you know, for anyone who, like, looks at them.
Right.
But in 3.5, they were explicitly stated to be descendants of avians, which they weren't right before, but it's like,
it's, now it's spelled out for you.
Yeah, like, it's a bird, you know.
Yeah, it's a bird, but so they've lost their wings now.
Yes. So their place in humanoid society is pretty similar to how it has always been, but now it is framed more darkly, in my opinion. So Kenku now leave their home nest at the age of 9.
Okay.
So they take longer to mature. And they, like, because it's always been implied that, you know, they were, like, trickster creatures and they were probably getting into things that were illegal.
Right.
But now it's literally, like, Kenku run in, like, gangs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they primarily live in, like, big cities, and they basically run in gangs with other Kenku to amass wealth and power. So they're like pickpockets and, you know, thieves. And now they also have no hangups, it seems, about killing.
So there's a lot of
Kenku assassins because they excel in being stealthy. Yeah.
Fair, but because, like, sucks.
You know, they spend their time pickpocketing and stealing, so
yeah, they're naturally stealthy too.
Yeah, and then
oof,
yeah. Okay, so it's
we have Kenku that run around with, like, basically what is a thieves guild,
yes,
in a sense,
mm-hmm,
and now also assassins.
Yeah,
it's not good. It does not look very pretty for the Kenku.
It does not.
I have a feeling that they're gonna start, like, getting hunted down at this point.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
Well, we'll talk about things like that.
Uh-oh.
So Kenku are small and light. They're about, I believe as of right now, they can be anywhere in the realm of, like, human height. So anywhere, like, 5 feet to 7 feet tall.
That makes sense.
And they're very light because they're birds.
Also makes sense.
You know,
yeah,
like,
their bones are probably, like, a lot lighter.
They're hollow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have natural bonuses to dexterity and nerfs to strength, and, like, every variation of Kenku in the Monster Manual has, like, naturally low constitution.
Which makes sense for an animal that has, like,
hollow bones.
Hollow bones, yeah.
So they're quick, and they're pretty smart, but they're also pretty weak. In 3.5, Kenku can actually speak.
Finally.
It's never explicitly, okay, like, they don't say, like, they'd say Kenku can speak both common and Kenku, but they don't say, like, they couldn't speak before and now they can speak, so
yeah.
That's what they mean, is that a Kenku can actually talk, because that's what I interpret it as, but you know.
That's what I would think, too, because even though it doesn't specify, if you say these creatures can't speak...
Common, then you would assume they speak with their mouths.
I think that is the case, because for the most part, otherwise it says, like, this creature can't understand.
I mean, to be fair, it also said that Displicer Beasts can speak common, and I don't know what the fuck's going on with that, so whatever.
True.
They can talk.
I guess. Also, this is when what may be a very familiar ability of Kenku to some people is introduced, and that is that they have the ability to mimic the voices of other people. Not just voices, but sounds.
Right.
So... their alignment has changed. Kenku in 3.5 are usually neutral evil, but true neutral and good Kenku can exist. It says that they're usually neutral, so they run along the neutral spectrum, and that they're usually neutral evil.
Which makes sense, considering that they've now picked up assassinating people.
Yeah, like they're criming.
They're out there criming.
Criming.
We're just criming.
So, Travis, you're going to like this.
Ooh.
Kenku clerics are few and far between, you know.
Right.
But most of them are in service to Vecna.
Nice.
The god of secrets.
Hell yes.
They like that, the secrets and that shady shit.
That's one hell of a person to worship, too.
I know it.
Only the best lich around, I mean.
That's up for debate, but whatever. That's another episode. And another two episodes that we've already done.
Yeah.
our Vecna versus Aseric episode coming out soon. Just kidding. It's not.
You know what? That would be a good episode, though.
Yeah. No, you know what I think would be really fun? Is like a March Madness style, like, bracket.
Oh, my God.
Of, like, who would win in a fight, and then we get to, like, the very end of it. Anyway. Never mind. So, Kenku get a really... really, like, in my opinion, excellent expansion in Dragon Magazine issue 329.
Ooh.
In an article, I believe it was just called Ecology Kenku. So this issue was published in 2004, and it does a lot for the backstory of Kenku.
Okay.
And it also, finally ties them back to crows and ravens, which is an enduring portrayal. Pretty much from this point forward, they look like crows.
They've now, taken that...
yes, the aesthetic
appearance and the aesthetic.
Yes. And it's just the baseline now.
Yes. So, way back in the day, an ancient race of giant intelligent ravens was swept by a terrible plague. And as it ravaged their numbers, they desperately turned to stealing from other races to get by. This infuriated the other races, who took to hunting them with the help of a race of giant... eagles, who were the, natural rivals of these ravens.
Ooh.
And then, and this all is going to be a direct quote from this dragon article, because I love the way it was written. The whole thing is really an excellent read. Like, if you have time, go look at it. So, driven nearly to extinction through assaults on their homes, the ravens' various Aries came together into a single massive flock. Their numbers blackening the sky, they squawked and cried out to something, anything, to save them from their unrelenting enemies and seemingly incurable disease. The answer came in the form of an enormous raven, its unnaturally white feathers soaked and stained red with gore. Descending from the moonless sky and speaking in all the languages of the world, this raven agreed to grant the petitioners their wish, but at a price. In that single night, the raven's plague was miraculously cured, and all giant eagles and their eggs within 100 miles were laid to a bloody ruin.
Oh.
A nightmare that race vengefully remembers to this day. In exchange, the cruel birds agreed to call one lord, Pazuzu, their true master, and spread his name among the creatures of the world.
Oh my.
Pazuzu,
which may be a familiar name to some of you.
No.
Not to me.
It's the demon from The Exorcist.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I haven't seen The Exorcist in
I haven't either, because I'm a baby.
Hell, I haven't even seen the entire movie. I've seen... bits and pieces of it, probably about half of it, but...
yeah, this isn't an episode on Pazuzu, but Pazuzu is, a real, demon.
Right.
Yeah, so...
see, you said raven, and I instantly was like, the Raven Queen?
Oh, no, she comes into this later.
Oh, well, good for her?
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of like the Raven Queen, honestly.
So do I.
Me too. She's an intriguing character. I actually want to do an episode on her, but it's not this episode. Continuing on.
Yes. So after this, no longer are we quoting, which is why the writing is about to get substantially worse. I'm sorry. I thought that whole series was just evocative.
No, that is really good.
I got chills.
I know. I did too when I read it. So after this, the Ravens only remained pious for a generation or so, as you do. Eventually, they got bored with Pazuzu.
Oh, my.
Some even turning their attention to other deities, which was a no-no. So Pazuzu became enraged and killed many of these ravens and also cursed their young to be born without wings.
Aww.
Instead having arms and legs, which created the Kanku.
So that's how they tied in the fact that they no longer have wings in this edition. They now have
arms and legs. Yeah.
Okay.
Interestingly, some modern Kanku have turned back to worshipping Pazuzu, who implores them to perform really, like, extreme sacrifices and rituals.
Oh, my.
Like, he sees it as a way for them to make up for their ancestors' betrayal. And I included this detail because groups of these devoted Kanku are called murders.
Oh, my God.
For those of you who have never heard this, a group of crows is called a murder.
It's a murder of crows.
A murder of crows. So I thought that was funny.
That's good. That's a good one.
So that is how it has been stated that Kanku became a flightless, sad race.
No.
No, it's such a good story, though.
Even though they're assassins, I feel a little bad for them now.
You should.
Oh.
So we're going to talk about how this has affected them as a people.
Sweet.
Naturally.
After we take a quick break.
Yep, I knew it.
Also naturally.
Yeah, I gotta go hatch some more sobble eggs, so we're gonna go do that real quick. Hey, everybody. Thank you for checking out our Kenku episode.
Kaka!
Kaka! I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as I am. Also, that Dragon Magazine article that I just read from... Like, I know I told you which one it was, but I feel like I should give credit to the author. His name is Eric Kegel, I think. Uh-huh. Kegel, maybe?
Kegel. I don't know.
Kegel.
Cool.
But fantastic, fantastic writing.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Absolutely excellent. So go check that article out if you haven't already. If you are enjoying the podcast and you want to consider supporting us, you can check out our Patreon at Dungeonpedia. We have a couple different tiers available.
And if you're interested in more work that we do, we have an actual play podcast that we started releasing last month. Last month? Yeah,
yes.
It's been about a month. It's been a little over a month, actually. It's called Projectile Dysfunction, and you can follow them, that particular podcast information that is done by us, on Twitter at projectile.cast. Or no, sorry. Let me try that again. At projectilecast.
I know you said them, but I promise Taylor is in it, too.
Yeah.
She's not separating herself from it. She is not.
Other than that, please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr for this podcast, which is all just at Dungeonpedia. You can also email us at dungeonpedia.podcast@gmail.com with questions, concerns, comments, you know.
Whatever.
Any long form or short form, really. Topic suggestions, you know. Do what you want.
You can subscribe to us wherever you can subscribe to podcasts. Your personal podcast player of choice, Apple, you get the idea.
Whatever.
And you will get notifications anytime new episodes go up. It's around the same time, but we also don't post to Twitter to announce it until later on in the evening to get that evening crowd. Remember to rate us and review us. That is primarily done through Apple, iTunes, but anywhere that is available. And most importantly, spread the word. Tell your friends. Do your friends like birds? Do your friends like dragons? Do your friends like dungeons? Then they really might like this episode.
They might.
Probably.
I hope so.
Hopefully. We have so far.
Oh, thank you.
Big thank you to Alexander Nakarada for our theme song, Blacksmith. Always got to shout him out.
Oh, yeah. And without further ado, back to the burbs.
Burbs.
Kanku.
All right, I need more on the Kanku culture.
Yes.
And what this has turned them into.
Sad.
Aww.
So, Kanku, like, society and psychology places a great emphasis on the, quote, acquisition of shiny things.
Yes.
Which is, like, I mean, it is, like, stated that for Kenku, wealth is the most important indication of stature.
Right.
But it also, like, it's so funny because it does really just tie back to their inspiration as crows and ravens.
Yeah, because, like...
To just go after shiny things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, same. Same. Like, I'll just be, like, walking around and I'll see a shiny rock on the ground and be like, oh, I need it.
Crow brain.
Like, ooh, shiny.
Yeah.
Crow brain says grab.
Like, people talk about, like, the monkey brain, which I feel like maybe also is a little bit appreciative of shiny things.
Yeah.
But it's, like, raven brain. Like,
yeah.
I keep just nice rocks. Or, like, I'm at a store and I see them selling, like, crystals, and I'm like, oh, shiny, I need it.
I need it for its crystally power. And by crystally power, I mean it's shiny.
Maybe that's why I like shiny Pokemon so much. It's because they're shiny.
Lewin unlocks something within herself.
But no, that's really just my love of statistical improbability. But anyway. Oh, man.
Nerd.
Update, I still don't have a shiny Sobble, by the way. But I'll get there.
But anyways.
Anyways. So, like, since wealth is the most important thing to them, a lot of Kenku will, like, as a status symbol, just drape themselves in, like, ostentatious jewelry and shit.
I had a feeling, and I like where
I know,
it was going.
I know, I love it.
Hmm. Sorry, I'm just now picturing this...
Like, blinged out.
Blinged out, like, bird...
Person.
Person, creature, just walking around with all this, like, just extravagant jewelry, like, hanging off their necks and, like, all on their fingers now that they have those, and...
I mean, they've always had fingers.
Well, okay, fair, but... Maybe like a crown jewel.
Ooh, that could be fun.
Yeah, I like it.
So Kenku society, as it's described here, is really interesting to me because it has this odd dichotomy of like competitiveness and thievery and infighting, as
right.
you could imagine from people that are motivated by the acquisition of wealth.
Right. Like if someone else gains wealth, that means it's less wealth for you to have.
Exactly. So
and
you
if you
want
take
it.
That wealth...
Then you're superior.
Yes.
But there's also a dynamic of, like, Kenku tend to get along better and work best with their own people.
That makes sense. Like, if you can't have that wealth, at least a fellow Kenku should have it.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, the groups that they run with tend to be comprised entirely of Kenku. And they actually have specific bonuses that they get in combat when operating as a unit with other Kenku.
That's pretty cool.
So it's like they get along better with each other, but they still like fight with each other.
Right. They still have that infighting.
Yeah.
But when they need to, they can team up and probably wreck some shit.
Exactly. So I found that like really fascinating because you would think that being kind of, you know, motivated by wealth
that
would make you... Like, not work well with other people.
At all.
But it does. So it's very interesting.
For a lot of races, that's true, but...
Yeah.
They probably see the benefits from both sides, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, again, it's like... It's kind of like that thing of, like, they have never really mastered me versus others, but they can master us versus them real good.
Yeah, or it's like... Because when I was reading, actually, it was a later and slightly different description of their society, I had a thought that it's like, maybe this is what having a big family is like. So, like, you can pick on, you know, other people
yeah,
in your family.
Yeah.
You can steal from your family, but other people can't. You know what I mean?
Which,
yeah.
Actually, now that you say that, I can see that, too.
Yeah. That's what my imagination
is. Like, no,
was.
No. It's okay if I do this.
But not okay if other people outside of the family do this.
Like, you're not allowed. Go
See, okay,
away.
I said the family, and then it made me think of, like, a legitimate, like, mobster situation.
Yes, mobster Kenku. I need it right now.
Oh, or, like, the Sparrow Clan from Okami.
Yeah.
How, like, they're really, like, because I always thought they looked kind of like a gang that was mm-hmm. hiding behind the front of a hotel. Hi, welcome to Lewin's Weekly Okami Tangent. And it's, like, the really big, like, fat... Guy was like the leader,
yeah,
like the big boss, like the Don, And then he had, anyway.
The Kenku Mafia.
The Kenku Mafia.
I need it. I need it so bad. You don't know how yeah. bad I need it.
Same. So they also clearly have, like, hang-ups about the whole losing their ability to fly thing.
Yeah.
In that funeral ceremonies for respected Kenku involve placing their corpse in, like, a high place. So that flying scavengers, like, carry pieces of their body
oh,
away.
Oh, like an air funeral.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Something like that.
The Tibetan.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so they clearly have some hangups about it.
I mean, all right, yeah.
It noted that their body was stripped of valuables first, however.
Of course.
I mean, yeah, why would yeah. they?
You can't take that shit with you.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Your family will make damn sure of it.
No, they need that. They need that in the now.
You can get something else in the afterlife.
Good luck, friend.
So, Travis, I know you're also going to be excited about this.
Yeah.
We're going to take a brief pit stop into the 4th edition Monster Manual.
You know, in this
well,
case...
Well, you're going to be excited because it's brief.
Yeah, I am excited, but I'm a little curious to see what 4th edition did to them, because what else could you fuck up with them?
No,
the Kenku already have it hard enough.
They do. So what did 4th edition do that I'm just going to have to sigh at?
Not a whole lot.
Woohoo!
They remain largely unchanged from 3.5. The numbers are different. There are more variations that are created for combat. So you have, like, you know, a Kenku, like, warrior, and you have a Kenku, like, sneak, like a thief, and, you know, yada yada, on and on. You have a Kenku assassin, yada yada. But
a sneak thief. Sorry, that just popped into my head.
I mean, that's what they are. But largely, they're unchanged. They have the same visual reference and the same kind of lawless lifestyle
okay.
as they do in 3.5. All variations of Kenku are listed as unaligned, which is 4th edition for neutral.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. they're not that different.
Huh.
They don't really change anything.
That's a little surprising. Maybe they realized that they were fucked up enough and there was no reason to change it.
Like, for good or ill, for once, 4th edition did not change something.
I'm surprised, and good on you, for once.
You get a pass, this time.
I realize I've said that before, so this would technically be like twice, but
it's
still.
Fine. It was for Dragonborn was the last pass that 4th edition got.
Yeah, but 4th edition did Dragonborn pretty good.
Yeah.
Dragonborn and Tieflings, actually.
Yeah. There's three passes for you, 4th edition. Let's not. This isn't a 4th edition hate cast.
Isn't it, though? A little bit?
It is a little bit.
A little bit. So, we're still in 4th edition, but we're going to make a pit stop in Dragon Magazine.
Okay.
Issue 411. In the article, Winning Races, Kenku.
Winning Races?
Winning Races?
There were like two or three other ones in this issue. It was basically just like races that people think are cool.
Oh, okay.
That's what it means. Because they're not winning in their place.
Yeah, that's
in society.
Why I was like, winning races? Really?
It's like, I wouldn't call them a winning race, but sure.
Yeah.
I
mean,
they're cool for sure.
That's kind of what they meant.
Yeah.
So this article has more expansions for Kenku. This article, like, kind of posits something slightly different for their backstory, but I don't hate it, so it's okay. It's because if I personally like something, it's okay.
Yes,
but if
exactly.
I don't like something, it's bad.
Exactly. I'm glad you understand.
Without exception, nothing else matters except my opinion.
You were really driving home the sarcasm in this, aren't we?
Yes. I am being sarcastic, just so everyone knows. I'm not actually a total asshole.
Total.
Partial, yes. So this article kind of posits that while the Kenku, because, like, this is a theme, that the Kenku are very secretive about their, like, history.
Right.
So they wouldn't just, like, roll up and be like, oh, yeah, you know, thousands of years ago, Pazuzu took away our wings and we're pissed about it. So this posits that the Raven Queen created the Kenku.
Ah,
so now she's here.
Okay.
Yay! Welcome to the party, Raven Queen.
So it's stated that the Raven Queen created the Kenku from the ravens of the living world.
Oh.
So she saw a raven and was like,
I like that. I mean, to be fair,
give it arms and legs.
That is kind of her whole shtick, is she saw a raven and she's like, I like that.
That is true.
Just take that, mold it a little bit, and boom, Kenku.
And also, my entire aesthetic for the rest of time.
True. Also that.
So, Pazuzu is also here. He makes his way back into this too. Some theories posit that he seduced some Kenku to his side by promising them power in exchange for them getting the true name of the Raven Queen.
Oh.
Which, I don't know what it is, but for anyone who knows anything about, like, fairies or whatever, like, true names are, like, a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
With like, the true name, you have a lot more power
over them.
Over that person or...
Yeah, you never want to tell a fairy your actual name.
And you never want to eat their food.
And you never want to take a gift.
Mm-mm. Be careful. bring your lawyer with you.
Don't trust a fairy.
Both staring at me, and I don't know why.
I wonder. So, you know, Pazuzu was like, hey, I'll give you guys, like, great power if you get the true name of the Raven Queen for me. And some Kenku were like, sure. So one theory is that she found out about this and punished them with another plague.
Yep.
That killed a lot of Kenku and left the remaining ones flightless for their betrayal. Another theory blames Pazuzu, claiming that he was mad at the Kenku because they somehow failed in their objective. And he brought this plague upon them.
Also a possibility. I could see either one, honestly.
And
gods are vengeful fuckers.
Yeah, and that the Raven Queen did nothing about it because she was pissed about the whole them trying to find out her true name thing.
Yeah.
So either way, they have lost their powers of flight. So there wasn't quite the same, like, evocative, super cool, you know, article. But
they did introduce two other, like, possible
ideas. And also introduced the Raven Queen into it.
Which is a badass, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, always a welcome inclusion, in my opinion. So, Kenku in 4th edition mature slightly quicker than they did before. And their lifespan is actually finally explicitly laid out.
Okay.
They usually die before 30, simply because of their lifestyle, but can otherwise live for many decades.
And okay.
As they age, their feathers turn white.
Yes!
So if you see a Kenku that's like...
white.
It's solid white, it's really fucking old.
And usually Kenku who actually reach this age are usually like powerful in like their society.
Right, I mean they're fucking... they better be fucking elders at that point.
Yeah, there's actually a Kenku. I don't remember her name. But there's a Kenku in Eberron that, like, runs basically a thieves guild, and she's, like, pure white.
Ah.
I know. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Eberron, for more content.
Thank you, Eberron.
Yeah, I would not want to fuck with someone like that.
Yeah, welcome to our Eberron love cast.
We fucking hate 4th edition, but we love Eberron.
But we love Eberron.
Yes. So, Taylor.
Yes.
I also, this is where the sentence was uttered that I looked at and I said, me. And I feel like you were also going to say, me.
Okay.
But it said that anxiety is the natural state of being for a Kenku.
Me.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, they're criminals and a lot of other races don't like them.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but also me.
Yeah.
Both of you at this point, yep.
Hey.
Can attest.
Hey. It's okay when we say it. Other people aren't allowed to say it.
Okay. You know us too well.
I'll say I live with her.
Yeah.
And have been friends with you for more than enough time for me to make this call.
Oh, so, we've been friends for a while.
No.
We have.
Anyway, so their collective noun is, like, their groups are called flocks.
Okay.
And, like, a collection of flocks that lives in a city together is called an Aerie.
Okay.
I like
it. Go back to murder.
Well, the assassins are murderers.
And, like, murder are the ones who worship Pazuzu.
Yeah.
Do really fucked up shit. Yeah.
Still really cool, though.
It is cool.
But I do like the...
Yeah. Aerie is also a good
one. Yeah, Aerie is a really good one.
So a flock or Aerie or just, like, an individual group of Kenku do what they can to survive, stealing and murdering and all that other stuff without concerns of abstract morality. Like they don't care so much. It's not even just that they're like immoral.
It's just that they don't care. Their survival is more important than their morals.
Yeah, or specifically, I guess what I'm trying to say is not that they're specifically, like, they go out of their way to be evil. They just don't care about abstract concepts like morality or the next life or whatever. Like, they care about material things, both in the way of, like, shiny things and also, like, hey, like, shit's fucked and I need to make a living. So, you know, I don't care to think about whether or not someone else thinks stealing is bad. I'm going to steal because I need to eat.
Yeah, yeah. I that was kind of the impression I got, yeah.
You know, gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat.
Oh, my God.
Don't come for me.
Please, we have no money.
We have, like, negative two money.
Negative two money.
So, also, this was a nil thing back in the day,
mm-hmm.
but some kinku have natural psionic abilities.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So okay. There's a little thing for psionic kenku. It's pretty cool.
That would change things a little bit
That is a little bit of a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as, like, you know, fighting them, it's like...
And also, there is a new feat that is in this issue that you can take up that allows a kenku to be able to fly.
Yay! Yay!
So you can fly again. As long as you take this feat.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
I mean, the fact that they were like, yeah, we'll give you your flight back on this condition. That's great. Like,
yeah,
I feel like you should be able to fly.
Yeah, it's great. So, like, this article did a lot for kenku as a playable
race. Right, yeah. I agree.
Like, this laid them out as a playable race because it was like, you know, here is these stats and here's these different variations of kenku, and here's some cool feats.
Here you go, DMs. Have fun.
Have fun. Your player wants to be a bird person? Here you go.
They can be a bird person.
Which is... Yep.
Or...
There's no way that I can turn that into a person. Nope.
A person.
Doesn't really
a person.
Work.
No.
Nope.
No.
It's just not going
to
happen.
I tried. I was
people.
Trying to... Bird people. Beeple.
Beeple.
Kind of like snake people, which are Sneeple. And dragon people, which are dragonborn.
God damn it.
You thought I
wasn't prepared. I was not prepared.
I wasn't either.
You were prepared for Dreeple.
I was prepared for Dreeple.
That was good.
Oh, man.
That was good. I gotta give you that one.
So... We are back into our home, which is 5th edition.
Yay. All right, let's get nice and cozy in here. I know people have their qualms with it, but you know what? I like 5th edition.
Yeah.
Now, please tell me 5th edition did the kenku good.
No.
Aw, fuck off!
It didn't.
I was like, I doubt it.
Yeah, no, they took a hard left turn into merp.
Oh, no.
Not really, because I associate the sound merp with, like, positive things, but...
Like cats.
Yeah. And just like funny. Just funny. But they got a real bit of a raw deal in 5th edition.
Do tell.
So we're going back in time again to the origins of what evolved into kenku.
Okay.
So in the ancient times, kenku served an unknown master, possibly Pazuzu. We don't know. Not the Raven Queen, though, because this was referred to as a male person.
A male master.
Yes.
A male man.
A male
I don't know what the fuck is wrong with my brain today, y'all.
It's okay. So, in you know, they served this master.
Right.
And stole the secret of speech from his library. Wan Shi Tong.
Wan Shi Tong's library.
They served Wan Shi Tong.
Oh, my God,
man.
Yes.
All the references today. So,
that's good.
They stole the secret of speech from their master's library. And going back to, you know, AD&D times, used it to swindle others out of their riches.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. By pretending to be gods and stuff. So as a result, he punished them by taking both their ability to fly and their ability to speak.
Oh, no.
Because they misused the ability to speak.
Oh.
Some people on the internet should have this taken away.
You are correct.
You are correct.
So... Now, kenku can only convey their ideas and thoughts using sounds, words, and phrases that they have heard before. However, it is explicitly stated that they cannot mangle together individual words into original sentences.
Okay.
They can...
Repeat.
They can repeat, basically.
Yeah. So they couldn't take one person saying I and another person saying want and then another person saying something else.
They would really just be like, they would be repeating like
a phrase.
Bread. Yeah.
They're like fucking parrots.
Yeah, they're parrots, essentially. They are parrot ravens. Ravens okay. can also mimic words, whatever.
Yeah, I went specifically with parrots because I do know that like parrots tend to be, they can like absorb more like words and phrases.
Yeah.
Than ravens can.
And this time they are even more hung up about losing their ability to fly than they were in fourth edition.
Aww.
So interestingly, their talent for mimicry also extends to writing and the crafting of objects. So a lot of Kenku find work making forgeries.
Okay.
As well as more direct, hands-on forms of crime.
Hmm.
They're just little criminals.
They're just a
cute little criminals.
They're a lot of criminals are.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
So now they do blue-collar crime and white-collar crime.
Like, hey, you need something forged? Take it to this Kenku.
Yeah. Like, literally, though.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like that they added in, like, the specific forgery aspect
to them, though. I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
Or, like, okay, a character concept that immediately popped into my head was a Kenku making forgeries of paintings. Because, like,
yeah.
Because some, like, I mean, and that's an occupation that people have done, obviously. Yeah. But, like, that to me is, like, because you immediately think, like, writing. Like, you would forge documents. But I immediately thought of a Kenku that was, like, would forge art pieces.
Yeah, that would be pretty badass, actually.
Yeah. So, Kenku were presented as a playable race in Volo's Guide to Monsters.
Woo!
Which I believe came out in 2014?
I think so.
I want to say.
Maybe.
It was pretty recent. So, Volos posits that Kenku originally lived on another plane of existence and may have been servants of Grazd, that is Grazz apostrophe T,
or Grazd.
Grazd, the Wind Dukes of Aqua, A-A-Q-A. Mm-hmm. I don't know who any of those people are.
A-A-Q-A. Aqua?
Aqua. Like I said it.
Foaca.
Whoa.
And that's the only thing that popped into my head.
Kenku probably have those, but
I mean, so really the biggest insult would be to be called a cloaca by a Kenku.
Go eat a cloaca.
You fucking cloaca.
Oh, man.
Hmm.
So, fuck. I don't know who any of those people are.
Because, yeah, me either.
You know, whatever. Sorry, I didn't really look them up. Sorry. I didn't look up Pazuzu or the Raven Queen either, but I just knew a little bit more about them. So, they may have been servants of any of those people, because I'm assuming Wind Dukes means there was more than one.
Yeah.
They were cursed by whoever their master was for wanting to steal a treasure. So
in line with their...
Yeah, so a little different, but the same kind of thing that they have gotten in trouble for many times.
Kenku can't fly, Kenku can't speak, Kenku like shiny.
Yes. So after losing their wings and their voices, they were cast into the primordial plane where, again, they usually eke out a living as criminals.
Yeah.
Man, so they got...
They got
tripled down on that one.
Yeah.
Like, you lose the ability to speak, you can't fly anymore, and you can't even live here anymore. Go to this random ass plane and deal with it.
Yeah.
The shit plane.
That really is what the prime material plane is.
I mean, it's the convergence against the convergence of all the extremes making a medium. So it's a very medium place.
Yeah.
It's the medium place.
It's not a good place or a bad place. It's a medium place. Wow. All the references today, guys.
All of the references.
We're getting all the references out.
Oh, I say that like we don't do that every week.
Fair enough.
I don't know, though. I think we might be hitting a peak reference in this episode.
We really might be.
Speaking of peaks, Kenku like them.
Oh.
Kenku are... bad segue, but here we are.
No, that was
now.
A really good segue.
No, it wasn't very good.
It was aight.
I liked it.
It was okay. It was... anyway. Kenku are obsessed with the idea of flight.
Naturally.
Because they've been out of shape about the whole losing their ability to fly thing.
Right.
So they often take residence in high places like towers, maybe a mountain peak, for example.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's where my transition was.
Oh.
And
I found it.
Yay. So in addition to that, they seek manners, magical or otherwise, that allow them to fly. Like, you know, scrolls of like the fly spell or magical broomsticks, or maybe if it was like a modern like steampunk, like the Wright brothers would have been Kenku.
Oh my God. I love it, actually.
Kenku, forgery artist, Kenku Wright brothers, I'm making your characters for you.
Just take them. One, please. And
take
like,
them all.
At us and like tell us about it. Like tell us how it goes.
If you're running a steampunk.
Like Eberron.
Eberron like yeah, scenario.
That'd be a really good one.
Go
for it. Hell yeah. So here's where it is actually the most sad for me.
Oh no.
Kenku are described as being hopelessly unoriginal.
No.
Like, it says to the point where they literally can't create their own, like, new things.
Aww.
Like, they can't, they can't make original sentences out of words. They can't create their own. So, like, a Kenku could be, like, an expert forger and make, like, a bunch of copies of, like, a book or something like that.
Right.
But they couldn't write their own book or make their own art. And also, it said that they're usually excellent minions because they're good at what they do, they're efficient, and they work well together, but they can't, like, modify a plan.
Aww.
You know what
I mean?
They
kind of just have to do what they're told.
Has already been done.
And they're kind of disposable.
No!
Which I hate to say,
It's actually really sad because, like, same. But
shut up.
It's just that to me is like the most sad thing, because obviously they're really hung up on their inability to fly and stuff like that. But like the fact that they went so far as to say that Kenku can't like create is so like.
Oh, God, that really touches my soul as like an artist.
That really touches my soul as someone who is like not at all artistically inclined, like. You know, Taylor, I can feel your energy over there, but like, it's true. I'm not. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It just, you know, it hurts sometimes a little bit. So like, I read that and I was like, ooh.
Man, yeah, that does suck. They're kind of just stuck to a life of
just repeating
everything.
Parroting.
I'm sad.
I know. Oh.
This is the saddest thing that I've ever encountered, and I don't know how to respond.
Yeah. And since it's 5th edition, there's nothing else.
No.
You're ending on this part?
Yeah.
How could you do this to me?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, you know, there's not really an upswing.
No. I mean, the little bit that I knew about Kenku before this was basically that. They're not a very liked race by, like, anybody.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the extent of what they could or couldn't do, and that's sad.
And the thing is, like, you know, we could, you know, go back and forth on whether or not, you know, you would say that how responsible, like, any given modern Kenku should be held for the fact that their ancestors were greedy or their ancestors didn't hold true on their bargain that they made with a demon lord, or, you know, whatever
the backstory you choose,
or, you know, how you know, bad of a thing it is to be naturally greedy or whatever. But I feel like Kenku just keep getting fucked over and over again.
They do.
Every time there's a revision to their story,
it just gets worse. Like, no wings, no speech. Fuck you.
Get out of this plane.
No,
not even your own homeland anymore.
Yeah. No original, like, thought. I mean, probably not so much that, but, like, you know.
You can't create anything.
Yeah, like, man.
Damn.
God, like, okay, if there was, like, a fucking torture for me.
It would be that.
Like, I start, like, legitimately, I start getting antsy when I haven't created something in a while. Like, so the idea of, like, living life like that is horrifying to me.
Okay, here. I have an idea on how you can kind of turn this into a possible upswing for the end.
Okay. Right? Please,
please, because I'm dying.
I'm depressed.
Because of the nature of how, you know, you play D&D, it is highly possible that your DM could make you run into a Society of Kenku,
mm-hmm.
and the quest ends up being you taking care of whatever method they chose for them getting cursed and them regaining all of their abilities.
Okay, yes. And that is also something that not only are they, do they very often seek something that would allow them to, like, fly through other means, for example, but also, like, means to undo what has been done to them.
So that's the one good upswing you could really hope, is that if you're playing and you run into Kenku, that your DM is like, set this thing up to just be like, yeah, you're going to help them get everything back.
Go kill Wan Shi Tong and then they'll get back their ability to, like, draw and shit.
Can we go kill Wan Shi Tong?
No.
Oh. Please.
Okay, we have Travis, other important things to do.
No, we're going to put a hard stop in what we're doing in our campaign, which you can listen to at Projectilecast, nice. To go save, like, all the Kenku, go solve their whole,
first you have, like, to find them,
racial identity problem. That's not quite how I wanted to put that, but the problem that they as a race share. There we go.
Okay.
I'm just sad.
Okay, well, Taylor's sad, so we have to end this now, because Taylor has to go lie down.
Alrighty, well, thank you all so much for listening, even to the bitter
depressing end
that we had. Don't forget to follow us on our various social media platforms. Spread the word to your friends, you know, all that lovely stuff. We appreciate anything and everything.
If you want to be sad, go listen to this episode.
Yeah, there you go. No, don't start off with that. You can't start with that, because then people won't listen.
I mean,
and some people like to be sad.
Actually,
like
that's me. True.
I love well,
if I open any conversation with Lewin, hey, Lewin, do you want to be sad? Yes.
Yeah. I love when media makes me sad, because it distracts me from how sad I actually am in my real life. Just kidding.
So anyway.
I'm fine. So email us at dungeonpedia.podcast@gmail.com to tell us about how sad you are after listening to us talk about the Kenku, or to tell me to talk about the Tengu in Oriental Adventures or whatever.
With that, thank you guys again for listening, and we're going to catch you next week with hopefully a less sad episode.
Well, it is my turn, so.
That's up to you, Travis.
We'll see.
Right here on Dungeonpedia.
Okay, bye.
Anything. Can't speak. Oh my god. I'm in tears, guys.